Joining us now is race car driver extraordinaire James Hunt. Hello, James. How are you? Let's try that one more time. James, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about yourself?
How's your brother Mike doing, by
Mike.
The way?
Mike is good. He died about 10 years ago in high school, but he's doing well.
I
still get a laugh out of that, too.
I had to do it. You mean, you knew it was coming. Do a lot of people still ask you that?
They don't.
No.
But I had it for a solid 15 to 20 years and probably have some deep-down problem as a child because of it.
I used to... When I was, I wish I could say I was a kid when I used to do this, but I think I was about upper 20s.
Oh, yeah.
When I used to call bowling alleys and have him paged.
I still have it happen with good friends, so it's all good.
And one time, I think it was, Lakewood Lanes in Waterbury, far, far from here, I was actually in the building when they did it. I picked up a payphone just so I could watch the woman behind the desk make the announcement. And we're all roaring in the corner, and she's going, Mike Hunt, telephone! Mike Hunt, telephone!
Did you ever put the call in for Jen Ittles? That's another good one, too. I did that as well. I still do that. Who am I kidding?
Who's the other? I think there's one more. Isn't there? It's Mike Hunt.
Jen Ittles.
Jen Ittles.
Herbie Verstinks.
No, I had not heard that one.
That's another good one, man. See, I'm just adding to your arsenal.
Why don't boys ever grow up? We just get more expensive toys as we get older.
Exactly,
right?
We do. And racing cars is definitely an expensive toy and hobby.
Now, when did you get started in this? I mean, you're going to be racing at Lime Rock. First of all, have you ever met Paul Newman? And does he actually put a jar of sauce in any of his vehicles when he runs?
You know, I've never met Paul, but I can tell you, even at his age, he is incredibly fast. And I've actually grown up watching him race at Lime Rock. Lime Rock's got a lot of history to it, and it's a track that I've always wanted to race at, and this is my first time racing at it this weekend on Saturday, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you drag race as a kid? I mean, how'd you get interested in it?
You know, I grew up with my dad and brothers working on cars. They used to race vintage stuff, and they came up and raced at Lime Rock, so I grew up watching it. But I started racing downhill mountain bikes at 14, and turned 16, got a license, and I'm like, this is way faster, and I don't have to pedal. I'm racing this. So in comparison to other drivers out there, I started kind of late, didn't start go-kart racing. I just got a license, started driving, and then got into some club racing with the SCCA and NASA. And then that slowly grew into professional racing, and here I am today.
What is the difference between the organizations? I mean, there's so many different outlets and the like. Are they all pretty much the same?
You know, that's also a great question. They're all pretty similar. What differs about them is some of the strictness in the rules, as well as the classes for which they allow certain cars to race. The series that I'm running in now is the Grand Am series, and is, for me, has been the most fun to run in. Everyone in the series is incredibly professional. The classes are very fair, and it makes for extremely exciting racing. And this weekend, we've got a 50-car field running in the Grand Am Coney Challenge on the 1.5-mile circuit of Lime Rock. So it's going to be competitive and chaotic, to say the least.
And how many miles is the race?
It's going to be a 3-hour race, or I believe 200 miles.
What's the closest you ever came to dying?
Closest I ever came to dying? That's a good question. That was actually in a go-kart. The brake cable linkage broke, and I hit a fence post at about 55 head-on dead-stop collision, and opened my eyes, and I'm like, cool, stuff still moves. Stood up, threw up in my helmet. It was not nice.
And now, does that make you more fearful, or do you want to get right back on the horse right after that happens?
I got back into a friend's cart and checked the brake cable to make sure it was connected and went out and did more laps.
See, that's pretty good. I mean, a lot of people would just say, screw this, I'm not doing this anymore. I mean, do you know people in your profession that after a near hit, I like to say near hit as opposed to near miss, because you didn't miss, did you?
Oh, no, I connected spot on. There was no near miss about it. I aimed for that pole and I hit it.
How about as a driver in one of the regular fast cars? Any close calls with that?
I have had a few accidents, but no close calls. I had an impact to the guardrail a little while back at about 50, but I was okay and came out alive on that one. But
exactly. Where do you start? I mean, how do they make a determination? Is it pre-race stuff to determine the pole position and things like that? Or I mean, where are they going to stick you?
Okay, that's a good question also. For this weekend, it's qualifying. So you have a couple practice sessions. We have two on Friday, and then Saturday morning before the race is qualifying, and we have 15 minutes where all 50 cars go out at the same time, and try and put down one fast lap. And in that 15 minutes, you can run as many laps as possible in that 15 minutes of time, but you have to get the best possible lap. Whoever has the fastest lap starts on the pole, on down through the back of the field.
How much of a disadvantage is it to be behind at the beginning? I mean, can you still win the race if you don't have a good pole position, or is it like horse racing?
You absolutely can. There's a lot that goes into it. When such a long race, normally in sprint races, meaning, you know, 40-minute race or a 20-lap race, qualifying position is everything. If you qualify in the back, you're pretty much toast. You're not making it to the front. But as this is a endurance racing series, the Can-Am series is 3 hours or more. You have time to make up a bad qualifying position, but also a lot comes onto your team. My team, APR Motorsports, we're running the Volkswagen GTIs, and they do an incredible job with managing the strategy involved in racing, which is pit stops, when to come in for fuel and tires, watching the flags. Sometimes you don't usually want to pit under green because you lose laps. So if you can get a yellow flag or a caution and come in and pit during that time and that works into your fuel strategy, that can really set you up and offset a negative qualifying position.
We're talking to Mike Hunt's brother, James, who's a great race car driver. What did your parents say when you started to get into this business? Did they try to discourage you? Your mother get all nerved up about it or what?
Oh, yeah. To this day, my mom is still like, you know, be careful and don't really do it. But she realizes that I'm already fully invested and I'm all in. My dad, on the other hand, always grew up being like, you got to get a real job. You can't afford it. You know, it's not going to work, but now that it's started to work out for me, he's by far my biggest supporter. So
When I leave the house in the morning at 5 o'clock, my insignificant other always says things like, you know, don't drive fast, don't speed, don't do this. I mean, why even asking me these things? You know I'm going to do this the minute I walk out the door anyway.
It's all natural. I think it's in all of us to drive fast, but the one thing that I can recommend to that is don't do it on the street. It's not worth it.
Oh, that's the problem. I probably have gone as fast on Route 2, which is the road to the casino in Connecticut, than you have on the track. And somebody dared me once to go to, what's the track? Waterford.
Uh-huh.
And they put me in one of these souped-up cars. And
nice.
I tell you, the noise itself and scared the hell out of me. I think I went around the track once at about 5 miles an hour. If it were my own car, I could go 120 and feel totally comfortable. What is it about these cars themselves that makes the average person so nervous?
Well, it's just the unknown. It's a lack of knowledge, and that's the big thing that people don't really understand. Racing is not as simple as just hopping into a car, pushing the gas pedal, and driving fast. It's all based on knowledge. You have to know the physics behind what the car is doing, how it's going to react to inputs that you give it, whether it's throttle, steering wheel input, or braking. There's a lot that goes into it, and there's a lot of training involved, both on the mental and on the physical side.
How do you prepare physically? I mean, are you a runner? Do you walk? I mean, do a lot of things to keep yourself, motivated in other ways before you get behind the wheel?
Absolutely. Every morning I wake up and do a workout at home. I do push-ups and sit-ups. I used to go to the gym, but I don't have time for it anymore because I'm traveling so much. I don't have time, but I do wake up every morning and have about a 45-minute workout that I do that really helps me stay focused, and it keeps my fat ass in shape.
All right. What about the speed of the vehicles? And I know very little about your sport, but is it fair for all the vehicles to max out at a certain speed? Then it becomes kind of a thrill ride, or the person who negotiates the terms better wins? Or is it fair for one car to be built to go faster than another one?
In this case, it's really all about carrying speed through the turns. The big difference between sports car racing and NASCAR is that, well, there's a lot of differences, but for brevity's sake, in sports car racing anyways, you're carrying momentum through different types of corners. So it's not a big oval. There's left and right-hand turns. There's different sharpnesses to corners. So the big thing is momentum and conservation of speed and really keeping your speed through the corners. So some cars, pretty much all the cars in Grand Am are pretty close in how much speed that they can generate or carry, and it's done that way to make for great racing. So it's really up to the driver to maximize the potential of the vehicle that he's driving. So it relies on driver versus vehicle, which is better for racing.
You seem like a pretty normal guy. When I watch the races on TV, or the NASCAR, the Indy 500 and stuff, these guys, they have road rage beyond belief. They throw their finger at the other guy. They jump out of the car and want to beat him up or stomp on a windshield. I mean, what's wrong with you people?
That, you know, that's very true. And I actually, there was a great driver fight that I saw on YouTube recently that a friend sent to me. It's really too bad. There's a lot of really talented drivers out there, but there's very few that really represent the sport and do a great job carrying themselves in a professional manner. And that's something that I really pride myself in, is that I try and represent sports car racing and carry myself in a professional way.
All right, is the expression all's fair in love and war, does that extend to your profession? And if it does, why do these drivers get so animated at each other?
Well, I can understand it to an extent when you're going 150 through a corner.
But can I cut you off? I mean, is that part of the deal?
Well, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but it might come back to bite you. You know, you can help use someone as a brake zone, meaning coming into the next corner, you can bump them a little bit. And if someone bumps you at 150 when you're on the edge of adhesion for the car and you hit a wall at 150, you're going to be pretty upset about it.
Well, I mean, then be a professional bowler. You know, the pins can't fight back. I mean,
yeah, but bowling's I don't share the same level of excitement in getting a strike as I do of coming through a corner four wide in a four wheel drift.
You ever beep the horn at anybody in the race?
Is that they take the horns out on purpose, because I think all you would hear is beep, beep, beep.
So no horns, right?
No horns.
I think that's it would be kind of cool, you know, like Road Runner used to do there. Me, get out of the way, buddy. I'm trying to pass.
I think that's why you see a lot of the gesturing in car cameras. That's our horn, is our hand gestures.
The Italians.
Yes, we communicate.
I got you.
Sign language.
What about... Now, you're a good-looking guy here. I'm looking at your picture. You got these cool shades on. You look like you're full of yourself.
No.
Did chicks love racers?
Well, it does help when you introduce yourself as a professional race car driver. It does seem...
Are you single?
I am, actually.
Oh,
I am single.
Wow. What a profession to be in as a single guy. Do you have a chick in every state like the comedians do when they come into the radio station on Thursdays?
No, I don't. I do not have a chick in every state. I guess that's something I'll have to work on, huh?
Where do you have a girlfriend?
I do not. I'm single, man.
Totally single.
Totally single.
And is it kind of a lony lifestyle? I mean, do you travel a lot? I mean, you're from Chicago. Where do you live there now still?
Actually, I'm originally from Philadelphia, but now I.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Philadelphia.
Okay. But I live in California now. But I do travel quite a bit. Actually, it's not that lonely, because you still the racing industry is really small. Everyone knows everyone, so you see the same people every weekend, which can be a good or a bad thing. But
now, what about the fans, though? I mean, when you finish the race, do you kind of go through the grandstand and take phone numbers, or how does that work?
No, I'm not. I'm there really when I'm at the track. I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm there to do a job, and that's my main focus. But
where do you go to find love then? I mean, do you go to the internet?
No, I haven't gone to the internet yet. Finding love right now, to be honest, at my youthful age, is not really a priority of mine.
All right, well, finding sex is always a priority. Never mind finding love.
Helps.
So if you want to bang some chick, where would you go to find? I mean, you must be in demand. I mean, you got a website or anything?
I do. I have a personal website. It's www.jameshuntracing.com, and you can follow all my progress there. But in terms of...
Now, you're telling me that girls don't write to you at that website and show you their panties and stuff like that?
You know, I'm waiting for some panty shots. So for listeners out there, if you'd like to, feel free.
And that hasn't happened? You're a good-looking guy. I mean, I would think of turning gay looking at your picture here. Why don't do you feel neglected? What's the deal?
No, I get well taken care of.
You do?
Oh.
How often do the chicks make moves on you?
It depends. It really depends.
Do you find one state better than others, or one track better than others to find in groupies when the race is over?
To groupie state? You know, I find that California has some very beautiful women, but so does the East Coast, man. Being from the East, people bag on it out in California all the time. There are beautiful women back here.
When you date or sleep with these girls that you meet on the road, do they want to, come out with you or say, oh, can I go to the next race? I mean, what's the deal after you shag one of these chicks?
Well, I don't know. It depends on if I do know. You can get the Stage 5 Klingon every now and then where they're like, we would love to come to your next race. And you have to manage expectation. If you make a friend, you have to really lay it out and be like, look, I'm gone all the time. I travel all the time. I'm sorry. You know, think you're a great person, but I'm never really around, before anything happens past the conversation, mm-hmm. so that their expectations are managed.
So most of the girls that you do sleep with, are they one-shot deals, or do you see them more than once?
Well, actually, I'm a rather monogamous guy. I've been in relationships my entire life, to be honest, and this is the first time I've been single for a four-month period, and I'm actually enjoying it right now.
What happened to your last girlfriend?
She got tired of racing.
She did.
I prioritized racing over her, and she didn't like that. Which
well,
I can
you know,
understand.
We've had a lot of comedians come in here that pretty much have said the same thing. You know, the comedian that was in last week, Mitch Fatel, said that he was going with a girl for, I don't know, 6 months or so, and they were getting pretty hot and heavy. Everything was cool. And then she said, I don't think I want you to be a comedian anymore. I think you should go work at Walmart. And she was dead serious.
Wow. I mean, he laughed at her and then made a joke.
That was pretty much it, and she was gone. I mean, you get this stuff a lot with the girls that you've dated for a while?
You know, she was really understanding, actually. She was an incredible girl, still is an incredible girl.
How long were you with her?
A year and a half.
Oh, that's tough.
It was really tough, actually, and I had to give that up to pursue my dream. So that one I still kind of deal with as a tough one. But
now is she back home? Is she in Philly?
No, she's back in California.
Oh wow! Do you still communicate?
Oh yeah, still friends with her. Still talk to her.
So you keep the door open in case you go back to California. You want to do a little bit of thing in there? You know?
To visit.
Yeah, visit. I understand how that goes. Yeah,
communicate.
Never shut all the doors, you
never.
Know? I understand.
You never want to burn bridges.
You sound like a cool guy. I mean, I wouldn't mind hanging out with you. I think it's kind of fun. What's the toughest challenge about Lime Rock versus some of the other tracks that you raced at?
Lime Rock is a short track in comparison to others, but it is incredibly technical. Most people are like, oh, it's easy to learn. It's only 8 turns. It's no big deal. Lime Rock is one of the very few tracks in all of North America that it is damn near impossible to be very fast at. And there's a big difference between going fast and very fast. So Lime Rock is extremely technical, but it's great because there's so many different places for fans to watch from that they can really see and understand why it's so technical and what's going on. But Lime Rock, it's a really unique track, and it's been around for over 50 years, so there's so much racing history here.
Who's good on this challenge series? Who's the guy to beat this weekend?
I'm going to say James Hunt, but...
Well, that's good. I mean,
there's a lot of great drivers, actually, in the series. A lot of young guys, a lot of very established veterans. One of my teammates, Randy Popes, is arguably one of the best sports car drivers in North America, so I'm very fortunate in that. So there's a lot of great names that run in the series, though, and it really is an exciting series to watch.
How much you get if you win?
I think first place is $7,500, actually.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
$7,500.
I mean, when you consider what the NASCAR guys get, I mean, you could come in 20th and get $50,000.
That's true, and that's kind of the unfortunate direction that racing's gone. It's become the NASCAR nation, and it really is sad. NASCAR is exciting. It's fun to watch, but sports car racing is just as exciting, so I'm trying to help revitalize sports car racing in North America and give it a little spice.
Now, if you're very good, I mean, does half of you say I'd want to give this up and go on the NASCAR circuit so I could make a fortune, or is money not that important to you yet?
To me, money has nothing to do with it. It's all about driving. I would drive a pink polka dot tampon-sponsored car happily and wear pink to every race. So for me, as long as I'm racing, I don't care what I'm driving. But I really like sports car racing. That's where my heart is, and that's what I've grown up around. I think that it's totally different. NASCAR is incredibly difficult because you're making an oval at 180 to 200 miles an hour, and you're a quarter of an inch off the bumper of the guy in front of you. Sports car racing is difficult in a different way in that, yes, it's close racing. It's a little bit lower speeds, but there's so much more that goes into it. It's not just left-hand turns, and that's not taking anything away from the NASCAR guys because it requires a ton of talent to do that.
I mean, you've seen some of the babes that these NASCAR guys have. I mean, the Jeff Gordons of the world, and who was the one that had the big scandal?
It was Gordon.
It was Gordon.
Cheated
right?
on his wife, and his wife was—he was beautiful.
Yeah,
wife.
But you know what? Did you see what he ended up marrying a couple of years later?
Yeah,
got some
man.
Brazilian model or something. She's gorgeous.
Did you? How about the girl that he cheated on his wife with? She was in Playboy. Not that I. I'm an avid reader. I get it for the articles.
Well, what a racket. You sure you don't want to go that route?
Well, hey, sports car racing has beautiful people in it, too.
Yeah, but you said you're not hitting any of them. What's going on here? You could still be single and and have fun. Where do these guys meet the NASCAR people? Where have they met their beautiful women from?
You know, that's a good question. A lot of them, you hear stories where they meet flag girls while they're sitting in the car before the race, or they meet girls at the after parties on the big yachts and stuff like that.
And you don't do any of that stuff, huh?
My focus is different. My focus is on racing. Not
I think I need to be your agent. You got to be able to mix business and pleasure.
Yep, it can't hurt, but sometimes it can. If you want to be my agent, sure. You can help on the female side, and I'll focus on the racing.
What happens after the race is over? Do you then take your car and drive it to the next town like bowlers do, or do you fly back to California and plan your next event?
For me, I'm going back to California. Luckily, I have
You drive?
I drive. I get on the plane, fly back.
Okay, so you don't drive back. Okay.
No. But there is the 18-wheeler brings our all of our gear. We have three cars on our team, brings the cars in. So the crew, after the race is over, goes through them, cleans them, replaces any parts, checks everything over on the car, every nut and bolt.
Okay.
Packs them up, cleans them, and heads back to the shop to get ready for the next race.
All right. Give that website again, because we have a ton of horny chicks living in Connecticut that I'm sure are going to want to meet you at least this weekend. And then you can, you want to throw me a 50 for hooking you up, you're more than welcome.
Okay, well, I want to get you out to the race as well. You and all the horny chicks. And the website is www.jameshuntracingallonword.com.
And the race is it on Memorial Day itself?
Actually, there's a bunch of racing all weekend long. My race, the Grand Am Coney Challenge race, is on Saturday at 3 o'clock, but there's all kinds of action all day. And then Monday is going to be more racing action. That's the Grand Am Rolex Series.
Are you in that too?
No, I'm not. I'm only racing in the Coney race on Saturday.
Okay.
And the Speed World Challenge is also running on Saturday as well as Monday. So it's a full weekend of racing.
Okay, James. Looking forward to it. And, again, say hello to Mike when you get a chance.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time.
You're
welcome. Great talking to you, man.
All right. James Hunt.